Deirdre Marie Capone is Al Capone's grandniece and author of the new memoir, Uncle Al Capone. The book is a portrait of the Capone family and its mob trade and examines what it has meant to survive the storied legacy of the family's forebearers. As Capone traces the arc of regret and what fuels the Capone myth, she finds redemption in a way to coexist with that legacy. It's a great pleasure to welcome Deirdre Marie Capone to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, John. I enjoy it.
Excellent. The name of the book, Uncle Al Capone. How did you come and feel that it was necessary for you and maybe even on behalf of the family to tell this story?
There's over 100 different books out there that have been written about my uncle, and not a single one of those authors ever knew the man. So this is the first book that has been written by someone who actually knew him. But I'm also a core member of his family. My grandfather, Ralph Capone, was Al Capone's oldest brother and business partner. And my grandfather only had one child, my father, who took his own life just before my 11th birthday because of the burden of the Capone name. It was also a burden for me to grow up with that name. I was fired from my first job. Nobody would come to a birthday party. I was never invited to a birthday party. So I needed to tell the world that there's a human being out there by the name of Al Capone. And he was very misrepresented. The things that were, printed about him when he was still alive, most of those things are not real. They are not true.
Give us a sense of what you feel is not true. I mean, there are a lot of myths, and it is certainly something that has been mythologized. So where is our common ground? Was he a criminal?
Defined criminal.
Someone who broke the law.
He did break the law. He did sell liquor, and that was against the law. Prohibition started in 1920, and it ended in 1933 because it was a very unpopular law. If you look at our legacy as a race, liquor is very much a part of all of our traditions. When people came to this country from Europe, there were barrels of liquor that came with them. It was very commonplace, in the 18th century, that you would walk into somebody's home and there'd be a barrel of hard cider there, When factories first started in, the United States, they would blow a horn three times a day, and that meant that the workers in the factory could take a break and they would have a drink of hard liquor. I mean, birthday parties, at weddings, you toast, the bride and groom. Everything. I mean, our whole society revolved around alcohol. In 1920, women got the right to vote. Jazz music was coming into being that all revolved around alcohol. People in the rural areas could build their own stills and produce their own alcohol. People in the cities needed somebody like Al Capone to provide it for him. That's the only law that they broke. The only thing that they got Al Capone on, and they wanted to put him away because the World's Fair was coming to Chicago, Income tax evasion. And most people don't understand when the income tax law was first written, there was a provision in that law that you did not have to declare any income that you earned illegally, because that was against our Fifth Amendment. If you put down that you won $300 gambling on the horses, the IRS agent can turn it over to the FBI and they'd come in and arrest you. So my family didn't know that they had to declare the income that they were making selling alcohol. When they found out about it, they tried to pay their bill, but they wouldn't allow them. So my grandfather got sent to jail for 3 years for not paying his income tax. And for the same years and the same amount of money, Al Capone got sentenced to 11 years.
His public reputation was damaged in the wake of his supposed involvement in the St. Valentine's Day massacre when rival gang members were executed. There were also, of course, charges of bribery of government figures as well as prostitution. And you look at those, how?
Number one, no Capone had anything to do with the Valentine's Day massacre. That incident alone, you know, was reported in the Chicago papers as being something that Al Capone did, and that was something he could never recover from. I have evidence, as does two books that were recently published. One was Get Capone by Jonathan Eig, that the police were the ones that did that deed. The police were stealing cases of alcohol off the back of Bugs Moran's trucks. And when Bugs Moran's soldiers discovered it, they said, told those guys, you know, when your police captain finds out that you're doing this, you know, you're going to be fired from your job. But it was set up to look as though Al Capone did it. That was not Al Capone's M.O. He was in Florida at the time. But believe me, if Al Capone wanted to get Bugs Moran, he would have gotten Bugs Moran.
When he was sentenced to federal prison, ultimately to Alcatraz, then new, a federal prison, he died in prison at the age of 48 from cardiac arrest after suffering a stroke. He was only 48 years old, a very young man.
Joe, what you just said there is totally untrue.
Okay.
Number one, when he was first convicted of income tax evasion, he was sent to Atlanta, and he was filing for a writ of habeas corpus, which means he had new evidence that he was, you know, convicted and sentenced wrongly. He was one day away from being taken from Atlanta back to Cook County, Illinois, Chicago, to present this new evidence. When J. Edgar Hoover called the first warden of Alcatraz and said, "You want the world to know what a horrible place Alcatraz is? You transfer Al Capone out there, and all the papers will cover it." They took him from Atlanta to Alcatraz. They sell my book out on Alcatraz. When you get on a ferry boat to go out to the island, the last sign you see is a quote from the first warden of Alcatraz, Warden Johnston. And it says, "Alcatraz was opened to incarcerate irredeemable men, men who could never return back to society." That was not Al Capone. Al Capone was arrested and convicted of a white-collar crime.
He was released on parole in 1939.
Correct. And he died in 1947.
In 1947. So when he left Alcatraz, he went back to Chicago?
No, when he left Alcatraz, he went to his home in Miami, and that is where he died of a massive stroke on January 25th, 1947. He did not die in prison, and he did not die of cardiac arrest. He died of a massive stroke, and it was something that happened to him because of the treatment he got in the last 6 months before he was released. My grandfather told me that Alcatraz guards called him and they said that they had a new treatment for syphilis, and they wanted to try it out on Al Capone before he got released. So they took him out of Alcatraz and sent him to Terminal Island, which is a hospital off the coast of California, right near Los Angeles, where they began treating him with this new treatment. Those 6 months is where you see all of the reports of Al Capone being put in solitary, Al Capone, you know, being angry, Al Capone, you know, being violent. Well, for heaven's sakes, when they transferred him to Terminal Island, they began to treat him with this new treatment, was injections of mercury. If you read, you know, Alice in Wonderland, there is a character there called the Mad Hatter, and this guy would dip his threads in mercury to make it easier for him to make the headdresses for royalty. The thread would prick his finger, the mercury would get into his bloodstream, and it drove him crazy. When my uncle got released from prison, my mother was pregnant with me, and she told me that he had a party for him. He would go up to his own mother and say, "Who are you?" Then he would go to his, you know, somebody else and say, "Who are you?" Then he would go back to that same person again, "Who are you?" He couldn't speak above a whisper. My grandfather knew something had to be done, so they took him to Baltimore, Maryland, to Johns Hopkins, where he worked with a psychiatrist there, and for 3 months they were injecting him to try to leach those poisons from his body.
Your memory of him is what?
My memory of him was an uncle. He had a big kid, somebody that would laugh. I mean, he taught me to swim in his pool in Miami, and I can still remember that was the first time I ever had salt water in my mouth, and so my face went in the water, and I must have made just a terrible, you know, face. And he started laughing, and he picked me up, put me on the side of the pool, and just kept laughing and laughing and laughing at me. So that was the man that he was. He taught me to play a mandolin. He was a good man. And, you know, I have four children. I have 14 grandchildren. There has never been anything more than a speeding ticket or a parking ticket that any one of us has ever gotten. I tried to tell people, was Al Capone a mobster? Yes, he was. Was he a monster? No, he was not.
The name of the book is Uncle Al Capone, The Untold Story from Inside His Family. Deirdre Marie Capone, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Very welcome. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Uncle Al Capone, The Untold Story from Inside His Family. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.